Look at Galatians chapter 5. Here's what I'm calling this. Keep in step with the Spirit. This series, keep in step with the Spirit. But I want to take a moment. I want to read this passage of Scripture because I want you to understand how important it is that we keep in step with the Spirit. Too many people are keeping in step with the wrong people, walking with the wrong people, locking arms with the wrong people, running with the wrong crowd. Keep in step with the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says, but I say, and this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church that's in Galatia, he says, but I say, walk in the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Now let's all be honest. How many have any problem at all, from small to great, with the desires of the flesh? Can I see a hand? Should be 100% in the house, because I bet we all battle with desires of the flesh. Whether it's anger, envy, or a whole lot worse. But here's what he said. If we walk in the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Now that should be enough for us to say, well, hey, what does it really mean to walk in the Spirit? Because if walking in the Spirit is the key to not gratifying the desires of the flesh, and I'm really sick and tired of the desires of the flesh getting the best of me, then what do I have to do to walk in the Spirit? So that's what we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks. For the desires of the flesh, verse 17, and he just kind of explains it, just in case you don't know what the desires of the flesh are. He says the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for they are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do or the things that you know you should do. So you've got this war going on with the flesh and the Spirit. They're at odds with each other on a daily, minute-by-minute basis, fighting each other for the direction of your life, for your very soul. And if you don't win this battle, then the flesh will overtake you. And here's what will happen. He goes on in verse number 18, but if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. I mean, everybody should know this. They're evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I don't think he left anything out. It's kind of all there. I mean, from fits of anger to sexual immorality, he puts it all in there. And then he says this. He said, I warn you as I warned you before that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But he says there's a better way. There's a better way to live your life. This way is not good. This way ends up bad. Following the flesh ends up bad. But he says, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. All that list of all those desires of the flesh that we just mentioned, he said, we've crucified the flesh with its passions and desires, so we won't follow that pathway, because we know that ends up in eternal destruction. That person who follows the works of the flesh will not inherit the kingdom of God. So God gives a different pathway, the pathway that's led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit who has come to lead us and to guide us. And then he says in verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. If we're going to live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. I remember as a kid trying to keep up with my dad's footsteps and step where he stepped. And sometimes his steps were a little longer than my little legs could reach, but I tried really hard to keep in step with my father. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So in order to understand how to keep in step with the Spirit, I want to just share with you here quickly the four purposes of the Holy Spirit. the four main purposes. Now, there are many functions of the Spirit that I won't even have time to get into, but many of these functions flow out of these main purposes of the Holy Spirit. And this is kind of basic, but it gives us a framework for understanding the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and what He wants to do in our life. If we're going to live by the Spirit, if we're going to keep in step with the Spirit, here's what the Spirit wants to do in our lives. Four main purposes. And as I said, there's many functions. He's a guide. He convicts us of sin. He's a comforter. He's a helper. A lot of those functions flow out of these purposes. The first purpose of the Holy Spirit is for regeneration. I know that's kind of a biblical term, but it's simply the reason for regeneration is for life. So the first purpose of the Holy Spirit is to make us alive, to make us come alive. And there's several scriptures there that you can write down, you can look up, you can read those later. But the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to make us alive in body, soul, and spirit. He wants to make your body alive. He wants you to be healthy and well. He wants you to have the right strength in your body to be able to do what He's called you to do. But He also wants our soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions to come alive. He wants your mind alert, your mind awake, your mind brilliant, your emotions tapped into what God is doing, your will set on doing the will of God, your mind, your will, and your emotions, but also your spirit. Most importantly, your spirit. Even those who are not born again have a spirit. It's just their spirit is dead. Because we all have a spirit, but some of our spirits were dead before the Holy Spirit regenerated us and came into us and made us alive. This is what happens when we're saved. Our spirit is what separates us from the animal kingdom. Now I know I'm probably treading on some dangerous, you know, right here. Some of you think that I'm not even gonna go there. You know what I mean. Spirit is what separates. I'm not saying that your animal does not have a mind. I'm not saying they don't have a soul, mind, will, and emotion. But God will judge if they have a spirit, okay? So in order for our spirit to be made alive, what God did was He sent His Son to become sin for us so that we could live. And when sin was canceled out by Christ upon the cross, the Holy Spirit was then sent to dwell in us to make us alive. We're alive today because of the work of the Holy Spirit. Whenever you say yes to Jesus, His Spirit comes to dwell in you, and it takes that spirit portion that's inside of you that longs and craves for God. That's why people search for answers, trying to fill the void in their life with everything that the world has to offer and are still left empty. Because there's a spirit inside of them that's longing to be filled with God and God only. And only when they say yes to Jesus can the Holy Spirit come in and satisfy that longing. That's why people can have all the money in the world and still have a void in their life. They can have all the riches, they can have everything that this world has to offer, but still have a void in their life because there's a spirit part of us that can only be satisfied by God. And He sends His Holy Spirit to make our dead spirit come alive. That's what people are searching for all over the world. The second purpose of the Holy Spirit is anointing. Anointing. And the reason for the anointing is for service. Now, your anointing is what determines your calling. What are you anointed to do? That determines what your calling is and what you're supposed to be doing. Some people are just more anointed for certain things than others. Some are anointed in finances. Some are anointed in management. Some are anointed in administration. Some are anointed in customer service. Some are anointed in worship and anointed with instruments. Your anointing determines your calling. So the reason for the anointing is for service, meaning where are you going to serve? Where are you going to give back? What are you going to do to help build the church and to help serve others? In the Old Testament, there were three specific ministries in the Old Testament: the prophet, the priest, and the king. Jesus was all three of these: the prophet, the priest, and the king. But God told Moses to anoint the prophet, priest, and the king before they could actually enter into the Holy of Holies. They had to be anointed first before they could actually serve in the Holy of Holies. The same way with us, we are anointed by God to be able to do what he's called us to do, to be able to serve. You have an anointing. The problem with a lot of people is they don't like their anointing. They think they got shafted. They got the short end of the stick. And so they fight their anointing rather than surrender. They fight and they try to take on somebody else's anointing. And they live a frustrated life because all they're trying to do is to be what somebody else is being or do what somebody else is doing. You watch somebody on, you know, you follow them on Instagram and you want to be that person, or you watch somebody in some other church and you want to be that person. Preachers are probably the worst at this. We see somebody else and we think that what they're doing is successful and that must be the way to do it. Well, that's their anointing. I got over that a long time ago. I am going to be me. And when I'm me, I can be the best version of myself. I don't have to be anybody else. I'm not a good copycat. So what you see is what you get. Sorry. In Luke 4:18, the Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. Jesus said this because he's anointed me. What was he anointed to do? To preach the good news. Heal the brokenhearted. Set at liberty those that are captive. He was anointed to do that. You have an anointing. Best thing you do is say, all right, Lord, I'll serve. I'll do it. If you want an anointing, you got to be willing and obedient to serve. The third purpose of the Holy Spirit is this, the infilling. The infilling. Now, this is different from baptism, and I'll explain this, the infilling. The reason for the infilling, and I should say continual filling, the reason for this is fruit and character. To the degree that we stay filled with the Holy Spirit is the degree that we will have victory over the works of the flesh. The degree that you stay filled with the Spirit, and you say, well, I thought I got filled with the Spirit when he came in me when I got saved. Yes, he did. But there's many works of the Holy Spirit. And he fills us, the infilling is to give us strength to overcome the works of the flesh. You say, well, why do I need to be filled again? Because we leak. It's as simple as that. We leak. When you got ticked off and yelled at somebody, yelled at your kids, or yelled at your spouse, I tell you, you were leaking. When you got mad on the commute to work or on the commute to church, or you got here and the chips and salsa were all gone, you leaked. We leak all the time. That's why we need to constantly be being filled. In fact, this is where our Christian character is developed. I've seen a whole lot of people baptized in the Holy Spirit. They can pray in King James and pray in other tongues, but have no character about them. Why? Because they're not being filled on a continual basis. Character is a fruit, or fruit is character, or fruit is, it's not a gift, it's a quality that is developed. Ephesians 5:18 says this, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled, or be being filled, continually be being filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, there's three things that you can do based on this scripture to stay or keep being filled with the Spirit. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Psalms are exactly what they are. Scriptures right out of the book of Psalms. Scriptural songs. The hymns would be songs that are written by human, whether not necessarily because they're in a hymn book, but a song that's written. Spiritual songs are kind of like what we were doing earlier during worship when the worship team just said, or Jacob led us and just said, hey, sing your own song. And the band just started playing. We all just started singing. You sang your own song. That's a spiritual song. It can be in English or it can be in tongues. It's just your song to the Lord. It's something coming from your heart to the Lord. It doesn't have to have a certain melody. It doesn't even have to rhyme. Praise the Lord. You don't have to make it rhyme. Now, some of you may have a gift and you can rhyme and rap and you can do all your spiritual songs, and it's like it should be produced right there. Mine don't come out like that. Mine are pretty simple. But sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Give thanks for everything. This will keep you filled with the Spirit. Give thanks for everything. It's kind of an attitude. Just keep a good attitude. In every circumstance, there's always things you can complain about, but there are always things you can find to give thanks for. You can always find something that's not perfect, but you can always find something to give thanks for. It's about your perspective. And if you will continually find something to give thanks for, it's going to keep you filled with the Spirit. And then last, submitting to one another. And this works best in our marriages. It helps in leadership in church as well. But in our marriages, how many times have you ever had an argument, fought? You were right. You may have won the argument, but you felt awful after it was over. Why? Because you weren't submitting. You were just fighting to win an argument. Well, let me pat you on the back. You won, but you leaked. That's not the way you stay filled with the Spirit. You don't get filled with the Spirit by winning arguments. You are filled with the Spirit by submitting one to another, recognizing the futility and the ridiculousness of certain arguments that we may have. Here's the fourth, and I'm going to stop. The worship team, come on back here, please. The fourth purpose of the Holy Spirit is the baptism. And the reason we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit is power. Power. I don't know about you, but I need more power in my life. This spiritual battle that we're in, I need more power. Acts 1, 4 through 8 says this: on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Meaning there's a difference between baptism in water and baptism in the Spirit. Two different things. And he says, so when they met together, they asked him, Lord, at this time, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And then in Acts 2, 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, let me just tell you real quickly, there are three supernatural things that take place in your life when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Three things. Number one, you speak in other tongues. Acts 2, 4. You speak in other tongues. And I'm going to come back to, if you guys will help me, I'm going to come back to those three points that are under this in just a minute and go to B. You receive power. You receive power. Three supernatural things that happen. One, you speak in tongues. Number two, you receive power. And then C, you receive revelation. John 14, 26, the counsel of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. So there's revelation that comes to you. God will give you answers in situations where you wouldn't have it otherwise. This happens when you're baptized in the Spirit. You receive power. Go back to B. You receive power, Acts 1:8, power to be a witness. But then if you go back to A, you'll speak with other tongues. Now there's three things right here under speaking with other tongues that I want to talk about real quick. Why in the world, for the person saying, why in the world do we need to speak in tongues? What is that all about? There's three reasons you need to speak in tongues. And one is for a more effective life of praise and worship. Ephesians 5:19. Remember what we read? Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. When you can allow your spirit to begin to worship spirit to spirit, it takes you to a whole nother level. When you start worshiping in the Spirit, that means outside of your known language. And for those of you that are bilingual and trilingual, you know, that's really cool. You can do that. For us can only speak English, we're happy for the the Holy Spirit that allows us to communicate on a different level. You can have a more effective life of praise. But then there's another reason, and that is in your prayer life. You can pray the perfect prayer. When you don't know how to pray, this is what Romans 8, 26 and 27 says. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express, meaning the words that I wouldn't be able to say when I'm praying in the Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit is actually interceding through me, and he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Notice this. He who searches our hearts, who's searching our heart? The Spirit of God. He's searching our heart. He knows the mind of the Spirit. So our spirit is making a connection with God's Spirit, and we're connecting those two, our spirit and God's Spirit, by praying in the Spirit. Not praying in our English language. We're in control when we're praying in our English language or our native language. But when we pray in the Spirit, we're allowing the Holy Spirit to intercede through us in accordance with God's will. We start praying perfect prayers. You say, well, I don't know what I prayed for. Exactly. You got out of the way, and you just allow your voice to be used for God to intercede through you for a need that he really wanted somebody to intercede for. He uses us for that. So the perfect prayer, more effective praise and worship, and then the last is this, is to spiritually build yourself up. It goes back to that power. Not just power to be a witness, but also power to overcome the works of the flesh that we talked about at the first passage in Galatians. In order to win that battle over the works of the flesh, these who are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternity. So as we are praying in the Holy Spirit, we are building ourselves up in our faith. When you pray in the Spirit, you're getting stronger. Your faith is growing stronger. Your spirit man is growing stronger. And that takes us right back to the first passage that we read about the battle between the flesh and the spirit. The reason that we give in so often to the works of the flesh is because we haven't built our spirit man up. Our spirit man is just weaker. They're going to fight each other every day, and it's as simple as this. Whoever you feed more, whoever you build up more, whoever you work out more will be stronger to win the fight. And here's the problem most of us have. We spend 5-6 days a week out there in the world not really cracking open the Bible, never praying, never spending any time getting close to God. We're constantly feeding our flesh with conversations with other people, movies that we're watching, music that we're listening to, places that we're going. And then we come in on Sunday and on a Wednesday night, and we get an hour on Sunday morning, we get an hour and 15 here on Wednesday night, and we think somehow that's enough to offset all of the stuff that's feeding our flesh all week long. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make mathematical sense. If we're feeding our flesh 5-6 days a week and only feeding our spirit man an hour or two a week, no wonder why we're losing the spiritual battle. Because we're feeding the flesh more than we're feeding the spirit. Feed the spirit man more. And this is one way you feed the spirit. You build up the spirit man by praying in the spirit. We're going to talk a whole lot more about it over the next few weeks. So do me a favor, stand to your feet. I'm just telling you this. The Holy Spirit wants to empower you, wants to fill you, wants to make you come alive, wants to regenerate you. He has a work for you. The Holy Spirit wants to ignite a passion and a fire in us so that everywhere we go, our light shines so bright that people see the Jesus that's in us. The Holy Spirit will draw people to Jesus. And if our light is shining bright enough, people will see Jesus in us because of our connection, our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Do me a favor, just slip your hands up to him all over this place right now. Say, Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, fill me. Fill me to overflowing. Fill me. Empower me. Make me come alive. Renew me. Restore me. I need you in my life. I need you now more than ever. I surrender myself to you. I surrender myself to your anointing. I surrender myself to your will and your way. I'm yours. I'm yours. I'm yours. I'm yours. Work through me. Flow through me. I'm yours. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now come on, just lift your voice and just begin to worship Him. Just worship Him. Come on, sing a spiritual song to Him. Lord, we worship you. We honor you. We bless you. We glorify you, O Lord. You're worthy. You're worthy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Send your Holy Spirit right here in every vessel, in every person, in every life. Fill us to overflowing. Fill us to overflowing. Empower your church tonight. Ignite a fire in this room. Ignite a fire in our lives. Ignite a fire in our men and in our women, in our young people. Ignite your fire in us, oh God. Set us ablaze. Set us on fire. Holy Spirit, have your way. Anoint us for service. Anoint us for your use. Anoint us to be your witnesses. Anoint us, oh God. Anoint us. We come against the powers of darkness. We declare that we're stronger than the works of the flesh. We will not give in and gratify the works of the flesh. We will renew our spirit man. We will revive our spirit man. We will build up our spirit man. We build up this spirit man tonight. We declare we're strong. We declare that we are your people. We declare that we are hungry and we are thirsty for you, oh God. We will live a holy life. We will keep our minds set on you.